Blog Talk Radio.
Reproaches of them that reproached
He fell on me. Now, you're talking here about the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. Those that have knowledge of the Word of God, that have really and truly become born again children of God, need to be at the point to where they can help the weaker to become stronger and do that in that almighty love of God, not as though they were better or smarter than those that are a little weaker. Because you see, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit, we actually would be nothing. So we're not smarter, but we are vessels to be used by the Lord God for the things that He is still wanting to do here on this earth until time for Him to come for His church. All right. Now, you see, there also comes a time to where we need to walk in unity. We know that the best example, the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak, is Christ Himself, who took our sins upon Himself. So let us always be to where we can be of help to those that are a little weaker. Now, for whatsoever were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You see, it is always through this word that is brought and revealed to you and I. As we read it and study it, the truth of it is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, and that's what gives us hope. 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. You see, we are to be as He was, because He should be living in you. If you're really and truly that born-again child of God, He is there with you. He's in you. And so is the Spirit of all of God. You see, you've got it all living inside you once you do become that born-again child of God. Now, so therefore, that's why we walk in love for those that are still walking in darkness and wanting to see them come to the knowledge that there is more for them and that they stand in need of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they need to go to him and repent and put him on so that they too can begin to walk in newness of life. Now, 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, with one mind and one mouth. These are things for us to be thinking about. Now here it says, wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Always receive each other as Christ received us. In other words, with that love of Almighty God. And we're doing that all for the glory of the Father and not for any glory for ourselves. Because you see, we are just instruments that are being used and a channel for him to work through. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He's talking here about him being the minister of the circumcision. He was. Because you see, that was the Jewish belief under the law. But also now, we are to be circumcised too, but not as they were. And now, under the law, it was the men to be circumcised because that was done to a body part. The circumcision that now we undergo is for all, men and women, because it is the circumcision of the heart. That old man is to be, old man sin is to be cut out, done away with, gotten rid of. Now, 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thee thy name. Now, 10. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. With whose people? Jesus' people. 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall raise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. You see, Isaiah even was prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ becoming our master, our teacher, our Lord. And that happened, didn't it? And we know, since God's purpose has been to unite both Jew and Gentile into one body, which he has done. Paul quotes from Psalms, the law, and from Deuteronomy and the prophets. And he done so to show this unity has always been God's plan. You see, it goes all the way back in to the Old Testament to bring us together. Now, a lot don't understand that because they're not understanding the Word of God when they do read, because they are not really studying it, and they're not studying it prayerfully. They don't know the Lord Jesus. They've never given their lives to Him. So they have no help. They're still in darkness, and as long as they are walking in darkness, they will not understand this word. And the word tells us that. Now, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is the means by which unity will be accomplished, as the Holy Spirit enables the strong and the weak brothers to see the other's positions and to refuse to let their differences mar this unity that they have in Christ. This is true spiritual freedom and maturity. You see, the Word lets you and I know all things. But are we really interested enough to spend the time in His Word to really find these things out? And a lot of people that we know and see, and a lot of them that claim to be our friends, are the very ones that will make excuses to not be with us for study in the Word of God, because they have other things they want to do instead of the study of His Word. 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And we are to be that helpful. That's what Paul is telling us, even of himself. And he's also persuaded that of us as he wrote this letter. Now, 15. Nevertheless, brother, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And he's talking there in 15 about as putting you in mind. This statement gives possible support for the view that the Church of Rome was founded by false converts. And it suggests that he had taught them originally. And it might also mean that Paul's views the epistle as a reminder to the Roman Christians of things they already knew in part from their Christian leaders. Because we know that Paul had a lot for those that worked with him. That he would leave, he would found a church, and then he would leave certain ones with that church to carry on with the gospel, those that he had taught himself. Now, 17. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Now, you see, he's letting us know that what he does comes from Almighty God, and that he is guided by the Spirit. Now, 19. Through many signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, this place he's talking about in Crete, today it is known actually as Yugoslavia. And this is where he's talking about here in verse 19. 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. 21. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. And the principle that Paul used in his ministry was not to build upon another man's foundation. In other words, he's not preaching what others have preached. He is following the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life and doing the work that he is guided into. And that's what we all are to do. We are to be what God wants us to be and not worry about what we know and don't know, because as long as we are willing to walk with God and we are open to him, he will guide us in all ways in which we should go. And we're not, you see, that's the thing with these walls and things that have been built today that we call denominations, that has caused so much division among mankind. Most all of them have went through seminary, and they are being taught, preach the gospel on things of other men and not so much as on the word of God. And that's why our churches have grown weaker, is because that's what they're doing. They're preaching things that man has taught, which a lot of that is contrary to the word of God. That's where all of this comes from. 22. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul saying he desired to come to the Romans, but he also states his past prohibition. He said, I've been much hindered. Many interruptions have been interfering with his plan to come to Rome. Well, we know that because we've studied about his trip after God told him to go to Rome. We know the things that happened on his trip, how long that trip even take. It was years. It wasn't something he just got on ship and went. Because as he told us there, he was hindered much from coming to them. 23. But now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. You see, he's letting them know he wants to. 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way hitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. His journey to Spain. He'll not remain in Rome, but plans to go on to the western extreme of the Roman Empire. Now, letting them know that he's wanting to come to see him. 25, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. You see, he's going to go to Rome now and go to Jerusalem. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. In other words, in the things of this world that they need. They're not out to give things that's going to cause them, please God. Now, but they are to help them in the things that they need in order to sustain life and to do the things that they need to be doing. 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. 29. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul, we know about his conversion and everything, and how he got to be as strong in the gospel as he is. And this is what you and I are looking for today. Because it is going to take strength in the gospel of Almighty God for you and I to be able to stand in this day and time and the days that are coming upon mankind. because there are going to be days like never before. And it's going to take all the strength of God that you and I can lay hold of to make it through. Now, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You see, even as strong as Paul is, he is still and knows that he still needs to be held in their prayers. Prayers help us all. That's why we are told to pray one for the other. I need your prayers. I need the prayers of all that listen and all that know me, that belong to God. I need their prayers. Because God keeps giving me things every day. And the more he gives to me, the more then I am expected to share, and the more I am expected to do. And I need all of you with me, just as Paul does. He knows he needs them. We need the Lord God first, but we also need our brothers and sisters in the Lord with us. Now, (clears throat) 31, that I may be delivered. See, he's from your together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea and that are my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. You see, he's talking about that he may, there in 31-32, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And this prayer was granted, although Paul was seized by the Jews and his life in danger, he survived to journey to Rome and preach the gospel as God told him he would do. You see, when God is guiding us and tells us to do something, he'll see that the way is made. It may not be easy getting there, but you hold on and you keep doing and going, and God will see that that is accomplished that he told you to do. Now, 32 and 33, and we're at the end of chapter 15. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I'm not going to get in to chapter 16. I'm going to keep that ordinarily. I wouldn't carry this in to in the morning, but God willing, I'm going to bring this out in the morning. You see, tomorrow is Friday, and I had planned on being back in Romans, or I mean in John, rather. So I'm sorry. Back in John in the morning. But I think we're going to finish up with 16 because that is the last chapter of Romans and we'll be out of Romans, and we'll get back in to John tomorrow evening. Because even before that time runs out, I think we'll finish with John too. And we'll have just the Old and the New Testament going. All right. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, now again, we have closed your word for this evening. And I pray, Father, that those that have heard your word this evening has gained in knowledge, in faith, and in trust, and that their lives can be helped by and in accordance with your word, Father. We know that if they will listen and be obedient to this word, that they will grow closer and closer to you and be used by you to accomplish the things you have left here on this earth and want to accomplish. Use us all, Father, in great and mighty ways. And now, Father, I pray for Israel and Jerusalem. Peace to them. But, Father, also pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land, Father, of ours, that has grown so evil and without any excuse, because, Father, you had blessed this land. With very, very, very much faith and with love. And Father, set back and let evil come into our government. We let those in, Father, that are filled with the evil of this world. And now we're asking, Father, for help to remove them from office and to replace them with those that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people. Father, those that love this land and will work with us and help us to bring our government and this land to repentance, and put it, our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for Kenny, for Dennis, for Amy's husband Tom and their son Jacob, for Bobby, Millie Johnson, for James Taylor, for myself, Father, to keep us, Father, in health, keep us safe through the rest of the evening and through the night. May we rest and wake refreshed in the morning in time for study at 10 a.m. And Father, the young couple, Courtney and Shane, I pray for them, Father, that they come to that knowledge of knowing that they need something more than themselves, that they need to come out of darkness and to the light, that they will go, Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and start their life new, so that they too, Father, can join and be a part of your family. Now, Father, watch over us all through this night. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good night. Hold on to God. He'll hold on to you.